We are holding on Samach Amud Beis, about two-thirds of the way down the Amud, line begins Aloy Seyayin. About ten lines after the end of the Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah that one of the cases where we say that wine is also bahana, but it's also to drink, but it's mutar bahana, you're allowed to sell it to goyim. We had one case with Nafal Babor of Allah, if a goy fell into a pit of wine and then emerged from there. So even though he touched it directly, there was no kavanah. No kavanah. However, Amar Apapala, Shonu El Sha'Allah Mes, that only applies if he came out of there dead. Or, we're showing him saying not just dead, but also wait, because Aval Olachai also, but if he came out alive, meaning not only alive, but in full control of his faculties, then the wine would actually be also Bahana, my timer. Now, why would that be? I'm going to pop the Domi Ale Kiyem Eden. Because then, to that goy, it's as if it's like a holiday of his. The same way as we learned from you at the beginning of the Masechta, that the day that a goy got out of a dangerous situation, he makes a private chagah to his idols, and he'll worship them and thank them. In this case, the same way over here. He fell into a vat of wine, which is a pretty dangerous situation to be in. If he gets out of it safely, he's very likely to be doing nistoch on his way back up, and thanks to his deities who supposedly saved him. So therefore, it would be awesome. But if he fell in and then by the time they fished him out, he's dead or deranged or whatever, then we don't know what. Then there's no kavanah on it when he fell in, and he obviously didn't do nisuch on the way out. Another case, Mazdei B'Kana. We had another case in the Mishnah that if a goy measures the depth of a pit full of wine using a stick, where again there you have there was kavanah to touch it, but he didn't touch it directly; he touched it using the stick.
So that's the din, the last one we saw?
So yeah, that's the din. Now, that depends whether he came out alive or dead.
Okay, so never be mutar, except when he's dead.
Except when he's dead, right. Well, dead or deranged or whatever, yeah. Well, you know, but yeah, if he got knocked out, right. If he got knocked unconscious or whatever, same idea. Okay. So, we said Mother Day B'Kaneh, we said that if a goy measured the wine with a stick, so he put a stick into the wine, so he touched it, but not directly using the stick. Kol Elo HaYomaiseh, so in all these kinds of cases, all these various cases we mentioned in the Mishnah, they asked the Chachamim, there were such cases that happened, V'Omru Yimachah, and in each of the cases, the Chachamim said he should sell it to goy, meaning it's also to drink, but it's Mutar Bahana, Reb Shimon Matu, whereas Reb Shimon says, in all these cases, it's Mutar even to drink. So, Rav Adaba Ava says, a bit of an unusual expression, let brachas rest on Rav Shimon's head. Because that he says about Rav Shimon, that let brachas rest on his head. I'll explain in a second why he says this. No, because sometimes he does agree it's awesome. When Rav Shimon says it's mutter, he means completely, you're even allowed to drink it. So these cases of the Mishnah, for example, the goy falling in there or measuring it with a stick or whatever. And when there are cases where Rav Shimon would say that wine is oser, where we know that where we have strong reason to think that the goy was menasechet, then oyster afilu bahana, then he asks, is it even bahana? So in other words, for him, there's no middle ground, basically. Right. So what we're showing him say is what we mean is Rav Shimon would hold all these cases we were talking about in the Mishnah and the cases that the cases Rav Adaba Abba is referring to over here are where the wine belongs to a Jew and just the problem is that a goy touched it. So then Rav Shimon says there's no middle ground over here where it will be also to drink, but it will be mutar bahana. However the goy touched it is not considered significant at all, and it's still mutar b'shtia, and he's not concerned about chasnus over there, because chasnus, he says, primarily applies when the wine belongs to the goy, and then you're going to drink it with him socially, and it's going to cause problems, as opposed to if it's a yid's wine, and it's just that a goy touched it. No, to a very limited extent, no, because there are many cases we said that it, no, because we said that where there are many cases where a goy touches it and it does become also the shtia.
Even
we're talking about in many cases when it's a Jew's wine and just a goy touches it. The halacha is, So the Chachamim hold, you have two problems. You have the problem of Nisuch and you have the problem of Chasnus. So even in certain cases where you don't necessarily have the problem of Nisuch, you might have the problem of Chasnus.
Even in some cases
when the wine belongs to the, most of the cases we say it's Osir, it's more because we're concerned about Nisuch. And that's why, for example, it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, the opinion that nowadays that the Goyim don't do Nisuch anyway, then it's not also Bahana, it's only also to drink. Anyway, sort of Shimon would take the view that when it belongs to a Jew, there's no issue of chasness at all. The only issue is nisuch. So if there's no problem with nisuch, for example, he touched it with a stick, which is not the normal way of nisuch or whatever, then it would be mutter. And on the other hand, if we know that he did nisuch, or we have strong reason to believe he did nisuch, then of course it'll be also
one or the other.
Right. So why is he using the expression yanuchalo that of Shimon brachos arosh? So you're saying maybe because he's master in a case with a chacham amal riser? Could be, but I mean, we have lots of cases where one tana is master against another one of asters, and we don't find this expression. And some of the acharonim talk about sort of Gedalia Lipschitz in the back of the Gemara says because we have the concept that zeichas tzadik libracha, when you mention tzadik, you should give him a bracha. But again, we mention amaroyim and tanoim a lot of times, and we don't usually bench them like that. So I thought maybe what it is, let's think, what does wine represent? We know that wine is taino, yayin, samach, lavav, enosh, it makes a person happy, it represents the pnimiyas haTorah, etc. So maybe the idea is like this, that the Chachamim are saying, even if you had wine that belonged to a Jew, meaning you have taino, you have pnimiyas, whatever, that belongs to a Jew, nevertheless, it can happen that it becomes, it can happen, of course, that it becomes also b'hanna, it's completely off limits, fine, and if Shimon agrees, such a thing can happen. But the Chachamim will say, sometimes you have, a Jew can't drink it, what do? You have to sell it to a goy. So a goy ends up having that hanah instead. Whereas Rav Shimon is saying there's nothing of that. Either the Jew gets to have the hanah, or nobody gets to have it. It never gets diverted to the tzad shekineged. It never gets diverted to the sedraga. Maybe for that reason the Gemara uses this expression on him that bracha should rest on his head. That, yeah. I don't know. It's an idea. Yeah.
Bracha belongs to the Jewish people.
Yeah. All right, onward. Omer of Chiyim. Omer. So who is the halacha?
Yeah, who's the halacha?
Omer of Chiyim. Omer of well. Omer of Chiyim. Breda Abba Banachmeni. Omer of Chista. Omer Rav. The Amri law, or another version of the chain, is Amr of Chista, Amr Ziri. Halacha ke Rav Shimon. The halacha is like Rav Shimon. Yes, you usually have the halacha is like, but wait. Ikadamri, another version of the chain, is Amr of Chista, Amr li Abba Bar Chanan. That, according to this version, Rav Chista says that Abba Bar Chanan told me, so Rav Chista didn't hear directly from Ziri, but he was told by Abba Bar Chanan that Hachi Amr Ziri halacha ke Rav Shimon. This is what Ziri said. That either way, yeah. However, the Gemara finishes off. No, the Ein Halacha of Shimon. Nonetheless, despite we have Rav Chista and Rav Ze'iri and everybody, nevertheless, the Halacha is not after all like Rav Shimon. The Halacha is like the Chachamim. Yeah.
Why suddenly the Gemara says the Halacha? So it's like what?
So it's like the Chachamim. In other words, it's the Chachamim as is usually the case. Again, maybe it fits together with this idea. Here, Rav Shimon is saying by rights there should not be any diversion of Tainug and everything, from Jews to Goyim, from Tzadik Dusha to Tzadik Dusha. But the Chacham agree in principle that should be so. Unfortunately, we don't live in that kind of world, and therefore, in our world, the Halacha can't be like him, despite the fact that Rav Chista, Meloshen Chesed, and so forth, would want to be able to say.
What does Tosfos say about
it? Tosfos doesn't say anything about it.
Nobody gives a reason why the Halacha is not like
him. No, the Halacha is not like him, because the Halacha is like the Chachamim, as it usually is. Okay.
Well, the question is then, why did they say?
Okay, they held Rav Shimon's reason sounds reasonable, or whatever. But nevertheless, though, so, yeah,
even if it sounds reasonable,
sometimes you have usually, but sometimes you have exceptions. All right. Then we said in the Mishnah, not a chavis bezorka b'hamotzei labor. We had an example in the Mishnah. What if a goy takes a barrel and in anger throws it into the pit of wine? There, how you might have
been
barrel? So, and it's an empty barrel. Yeah, it doesn't necessarily matter whether it's an empty barrel or a full barrel. We're not really talking about the contents of the. We're not talking about the din of the contents of the barrel. We're talking about the din about the contents of the wine pit that he threw it into. Are those going to become also? And the answer is that no. They said that it's kosher even to drink.
Well, that should make a difference. The barrel is empty always.
No, it doesn't really matter. Because again, the question is not the wine inside. The question is the wine outside. No. They don't touch each other. The barrel that's full of wine is sealed shut. No wine from the inside is going to go to the outside.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, there's a hole. Yeah, if there's a hole, that would be different. But we're not talking about that. All right. So we said the Chachamim declared it kosher even to drink. Right. So Amar Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi says, here's a general rule. Although we're going to see in a second, it's not really as general as it sounds. Kol Shebez Zav Tomei, any case where the way that a Zav would move something would make it Tomei, in a parallel case, if a goy did the same thing to wine, he would make it Yayin Netzach. On the other hand, Kol Shebez Zav Tomei, whatever kind of motion that a Zav might do where nevertheless the thing that he dealt with remains Tahar, then by Goy it doesn't make Yayin Netzach either. Now, Rashi and Tosfos both explain that this rule is not really as general as it sounds like. What it really means is like this. So Rashi says, when it comes to a Zav, when it comes to result, whether he moves something with his hand or whether he has a stick in his hand, or even Tosis talks about a different case. Let's say you can have also a result might have a stick, let's say, under his armpit or something and use it to move something. That's a different gene. But whatever, if he has a stick in his hand, let's say, and uses it to move something, it'll still be tummy. Well, so by the same logic, then, therefore, so if a goy does that to wine, then it'll culture bizov. Bizov meaning in a case of a zov, that it would become tome. So if it was a goy doing that to yayin nesach, for example, him touching it with his hand or touching it with a stick, then it would become yayin nesach.
Why?
Because that's what we've been saying all the time, that if a goy touches it, we're giving a general rule in order to help remember what the dinim are.
What does it have to
do with a zov? No, we're just, it's a way to remember. It's a way to remember. Now, actually, Rashi explains, we're not actually saying, it's still not a hard and fast rule. Because, for example, we talked yesterday about a case where a goy is carrying a skin bag full of wine,
right,
where we said that there's no problem because in derech shishos kapach, it's not normal, whereas if a dog were carrying such a thing, it would become public.
Yeah.
So it's not an absolute rule, but at least what we mean is a rule as far as touching. No. We mean is that, in other words, if a zov touches something, he makes it tame. And if he touches, if he has a stick and he touches it with the stick, it also becomes tame.
Right.
By the same logic, if a goy touches wine, he makes it tame.
Midaraisa.
With a stick? Yeah. It's called hesed. It's called movement. So the same thing. If a goy touches wine directly or with a stick, then it'll become yayin nesach. That's midrabanan, which is the whole concept of a goy making it yayin nesach without doing actual nisach. That's midrabanan, but yeah. On the other hand, the other half of what Ravashi is saying, the point that he's saying about kosher the zav tar is, for example, if a zav throws something, if a zav takes one thing and throws it at something else, the other thing doesn't become tummy. By the same logic, by the same logic, if a goy takes one thing and throws it at another, then it does not make it yayin nesach. Wait. Eisved of Hunel Ravashi. So
when he said he threw the grapes.
Ah, so that's the thing. That's why we said that if he only throws the grapes, then technically it shouldn't be a problem so we said that we want to make her, we say like we tell them, no, they're to stay away, we don't want the goyim to be too closely involved because they may end up touching it, but in principle it would be mutter based on this rule over here.
Okay.
So, eighth made of Huna Ravashi, so Huna asked Ravashi, I have a contradiction. Our Mishnah said, we said that if a goy picks up a barrel and throws it in anger into the pit, then we said there's such a case happened in Beit Shan and they declared it mutter. The point is though, apparently that only applies if we did it in anger, where therefore at least you can say there was no kavana, but apparently if he did not do it in anger, it would have been authored. So why? Based on Ravashi's rule, he threw it into the pit, therefore there was no direct contact, and therefore you're saying by a zog such a thing wouldn't make it tough. That's the point. In other words, yeah. The answer is hasam to ka'ozo mineo mine. Yes, but the case of the Mishnah is talking about, it's not just he threw in the barrel from a distance. What he actually did is he's rolling the barrel along in anger into the pit. So what's the problem with that? No. Zorka means like he's doubling, like he's pushing it along until it falls into the pit. So therefore, no, but it doesn't have to be. So if it was b'chamosoi, then fine. The Mishnah is saying it's allowed because there was no kavana.
Right.
If it was shaloi b'chamosoi, if he wasn't angry, then there's a problem. He came so close to the pit that he might have touched it. And since he's not angry, then there might have been kavana to touch the wine. Therefore, that's why the Mishnah is implying that it would be also.
But wait a minute.
Because he came very close.
The barrel touched it.
Never mind that. Rashi learns it's not the...
He would himself?
Rashi says the problem is that he may end up touching the barrel while it's going into the while touching the wine in the pit. And we learned before, Rashi said in the case of the lulav, for example. No, so that's what Rashi said.
Touches the wine with his hand.
Never mind with his hand. No. If he's pushing the barrel along, eventually it falls over into the wine, right? At that point, he's pushing it towards the pit of wine. Eventually it falls in. So that
doesn't mean he touches the wine.
That's not the point. Rashi learned before, the same as when we had in the case of lulav, that if a goy touches wine using something else and there was kavana to touch, then it would be awesome. Here he's touching the barrel, which is touching the wine.
Right, and he's not angry.
And he's not angry, therefore it would be also. Whereas if he's angry, then you don't have kavana, then we can say that. Then we can say it's mutter. That's how Rashi means. Tosfos again, who in the case of the lulav said
on the brink of the pit.
But
the barrel falls by itself.
It doesn't necessarily fall by itself. The ka'ozo mine o mine, pushing it along the whole time. That if you know for a fact, for example, that let's say you stopped pushing it a certain distance before and then it fell by itself, fine. Then it would be then it could be okay. But like this, where
even if it touches it once in the air, it's okay.
Yeah, but if it touches it as it's falling into the pit, as it's touching the wine, that's the point. Rashi says. Tosfos again, who disagrees with Rashi on that whole premise, they say that Nagiyah Yidei Dover Acher is less of an issue in the first place, like in the case of the Lulav. They understand that rather the problem is that because the problem is that he come that as that he's pushing it and he actually touches it. Rashi learns what it is he comes so close to the edge of the pit that he might have actually touched the pit. He might have actually touched the wine in the pit, that's what I mean. Tosfos, who doesn't learn like that, learns that what it means is he might have touched it as it's falling into the pit.
No problem with that, as long as it's not in the wine.
No, as when it's in the wine, I'm talking about, yeah. When it's in the wine, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So those are the two explanations, therefore.
So Rashi
would learn, therefore, that the problem is that he may touch, that he's coming so close to the actual pit, he may have touched the actual wine in the pit. And Tosfos would learn that it means that he may have touched the barrel as it's falling into the pit over there, and therefore he'll make
not
it off.
Not the wine, but the barrel
that's touching the wine. Right. Mishnah says, "Hamatar Yena Shal Obed Gachovim." If a Jew is preparing a goy's wine batara, so we mentioned this yesterday. We have the scenario where a goy wants wine to be produced, but he wants to be able to sell it to Jews. Therefore, he arranges with a Jew to produce the wine and make it available for Jews to sell, and eventually they'll pay the goy for it. V'noisne v'rashusay, and he leaves it in the rashus of the goy. In a house which is open to Rosh Hashanah, the Ir Sheyesh Ba'Oved Kachavim Yisraelim, in a city where there are Jews and Goyim living, Mutter, then it is Mutter. Now, so Rashi over here learns differently than he had said yesterday. Again, I mentioned yesterday you have two different versions in Rashi's Pirush. Rashi's version from that we learned yesterday is that we're talking about over here where the wine is sealed up. There's a machteach b'choisem. There's a lock and a seal. So therefore, the goy is going to be afraid to tamper with it because then the people are going to realize that something so therefore it's mutter. Here Rashi learns differently. It's not even a question. It's locked up. The fact that it's in a place that's open to Rosh Hashanah Abim, and it's a city where there are Jews and goyim living, as long as there are Jews living over there, so the goy is going to be afraid to touch it, because what if Jews are passing by and they see me touching it, and then I'm going to lose my business, then they're not going to want to buy from me, so it's going to be awesome. So even if there's no machteach b'choisem, then it would be mutter.
Because everybody sees.
Because people can see as they're walking by.
The
and that we're talking about the Yidden will see. The goyim aren't going to care.
Okay.
Right, but the Yidden are going to see, and then, yeah. So again, you have two explanations in Rashi. The explanation from before, from the Gemara before, that we're talking about that it's locked up. The explanation over here that the goy figures Jews are going to walk by and they're going to see him. Tosfos has a number of questions on the second explanation of Rashi, among other things based on things that we're going to learn in the Gemara. And therefore, Tosfos prefers Rashi's first explanation, and then there are actually Rishonim who learn yet differently and say that what it is the Mishnah is actually going to be telling us three different cases in which the wine can be mutter. One is when the place is open to Rosh Hashanah. Another one is when there's a Jew living in that chaser, which we'll see about that. And a third one will be if there's machteach b'choisem.
Even if the joy to goyim.
So you have some of the Rishonim that learn that it has to be many Jews. If you just have a couple of Jews in the city, the goy is likely to figure what's the likelihood they're going to walk by punk now. Other Rishonim say that it's acceptable, that it's acceptable either way.
We seem to be here talking about Eretz Yisrael.
The Pashkos were talking about Eretz Yisrael, yeah.
So that wouldn't apply for Tzara.
I don't know if that necessarily... No, because again, especially according to the Rishonim, who say that it works even if there's only one or two Jews in the whole city. Then,
how can it work if there's two Jews in
so
the whole
again,
city?
According to that way of looking at it, as long as it's open to Rosh Hashanah, then the guy is still going to figure he doesn't want to ruin his business, so therefore he's not going to take the chance. Why should he take the chance of going and touching this wine when he doesn't really have anything to gain from that, and he has a lot to lose if punk a Jew does happen to be walking by at that point? So you actually have, again, so you do have different opinions about it, and in Shulchan Aruch brings the opinion that the Shach brings these two opinions, that if one opinion is that even if it's only one Jew, the other opinion, that Ashba and some other Rishonim, is that you need there to be many Jews living over there, because then the Ran also holds the same way, yeah. So that's what it is. So the Shach says that where there's no Hesped, you should be Machmir. So you can be Machmir, Bano, maybe, fine in that case, but the Hesped God, or you can... Yeah, so that's one scenario. Anyway. Okay. On the other hand, if it's a city that's all Goyim, then it's also, well, there you go. See, this is where the Rishonim get that one Jew is enough. Because we're saying it's all Goyim, implying that there's even one Jew living here. Yeah. So if it's all Goyim, also, Ad She Yeshiv or Meshamer, unless he's actually sitting over there, or Ad She Yeshiv Shomer, I go to back changes or two, unless he's sitting there and watching it, or unless he has a watchman sitting over there. Now, Now, this watchman does not have to be sitting there constantly and watching. Even if he's going in and out, as long as he goes out at irregular intervals, mutter, he goes back and forth, because the guy never knows when he may come. So then that's still mutter.
Well, it depends. If he spends 2 hours.
No, but the guy doesn't know how long he's going to be. We're going to see in the Gemara, we're going to see on the day, that it has to be that he comes back at irregular intervals. You have the same kind of thing, by the way. You have the same kind of thing as far as mashgichim, at restaurants and other places or whatever. It doesn't have to be there the whole time. As long as they're yotze v'nichnas, any moment they can walk in and the guy would be caught red-handed, then that's good enough.
But if he's used to coming every half hour, then, yeah.
Then you have a problem, actually. Then you have a problem, because he knows he has a half hour to work with.
Yeah.
But if the guy sometimes comes back after a half hour, and sometimes after 5 minutes, and sometimes... that's what I'm talking about. That's what I mean by irregularly. Okay.
But not irregularly 3 hours?
Irregularly enough, that's it. Okay. Rav Shimon ben Elazar omer reshus over kachavim achasu. Rav Shimon ben Elazar says the reshus of goyim is all one thing. What does Rav Shimon ben Elazar mean by that? We'll see in the Gemara on Amud Bet. Another case. Hamatahu Yenishal over. Actually, Rashi learns this isn't really another case. Rashi learns this is a clarification of the previous case. Yeah. Hamatahu Yenishal over kachavim menos nevershul. So again, you have a Jew is preparing wine b'tahara on behalf of a goy and leaving it in the goy's reshus. We learned this yesterday in the Gemara. Allah Kosev Lois Kabalti Milchamoy, and the goy writes him out a document saying, "I consider it at this point as if I received the money from you. In other words, you're entitled to take out the wine whenever you want, and I trust you that you'll pay me later." Then mutter. Then it's allowed. Then it's mutter because now at this point the goy feels like it's not his wine anymore. So therefore, again, according to Rashi's explanation from yesterday, it means therefore we're talking about again that's sealed up with a Kosev Milchamoy. Therefore, the goy is afraid to start fiddling around with it. According to the explanation over here in Rashi, we're talking about it's a continuation of the case where it's open to Rishus Arabim, and you have... So again, Rashi's explanation from yesterday is that there has to be a seal. Rashi's explanation that we have here in the Mishnah is never mind a seal, as long as it's open to Rishus Arabim, that's good enough. Provided that the goy wrote out such a thing indicating that he has no more financial stake in this wine, and that the Jew can take it whenever he wants. On the other hand, Avalim Yutzi, Yisrael Lahoti, on the other hand, if the situation is such that when the Jew wants to take out the wine, the Einim Manicha Achis and Lois Ma'osav, and the Goy is not going to allow him unless he gives him the money, meaning therefore the Goy still holds a certain proprietary interest over the wine, then exactly, he may figure I have nothing to lose because if I start handling the wine and the Jew catches me, so I'll tell him, look, it's still my wine anyway, I can do whatever I want. So yeah. Zeho Yemais of Beis Shon, so such a case happened in Beis Shon, but Osru and the Chachamim said it's Osru.
Was that the case we're referring about Beis Shon before?
That was a different case in Beis Shon. We have a case where a guy threw a barrel angrily into a pit of wine. Beis Shon was a city. It was a city in Eretz Yisrael in those days. It had a large goyish population. So I guess it was the kind of place. Well, nowadays I don't know. I don't know what the size of the goyish population is there relative to the Jewish one, but whatever. It's mostly Jewish, but in those days, back then it wasn't. Back then it was one of those mostly Goyish. Okay, but back then it wasn't. So therefore, it was probably one of those places where you'd have these kinds of things happening fairly often. It's also, I mean, Beis Shan is in the Yarden Valley, so it's a big wine producing area. So you know, that's probably. Yeah. All right, anyway. fine. Just quickly, I mean, we're going to deal with the details in the Gemara, but basically, I mentioned before, you have Rishonim who learn that the Mishnah is effectively telling us there's three different cases, that there's three different scenarios that in which the wine can be Musr, otherwise it's Usr, and they are, number one, if the place is open to Rishos Rabim, and there are Jews in the city, you have a Machlokes, whether it's one Jew is enough, or whether you need a large number of Jews. Two, if it's in a chaser where a Jew, the halacha is, so the shach says again, that's the lachatchila, you should do that, that's the halacha, is what the shach says, given that you have that machlokes, and you have no way to resolve it, preferably you should not be so much on the opinions that say that one Jew in the city is enough. However, if there's a hefsin merubah, you can rely on it.
Right, we're not talking about hefsin merubah.
Yeah, yeah, so in a normal case, we have a hefsin merubah, then you need more Jews, you need more Jews than that.
But how many?
Doesn't say how many. Just doesn't say how many. You just, you throw them rabbin darim sham. You just need many Jews. Doesn't have to be a majority necessarily, but it has to be enough that there's some reasonable chance. I don't know, it has to be some reasonable chance that one of them might be passing by one day. Okay. Anyway, so that's case number one. Case number two is if a Jew lives in that same chaser, so then even if it's not open to Rishos Rabbim. Case number three, if neither of the above, then you need a shoyt. Then even if you have a chosem, besides chosem, then even if you have a double lock, you still need a shoyt if you don't have either of the above. Okay. So now let's get to the Gemara. So the question is, how does it help if you're saying that it's in a city that's all, not how does it help? Just, we said in the Mishnah that if the city is completely goyim, then, and we said it's open to Rishos Rabbim, it's no good because then the goy has no fear of touching the wine because there's no Jew going to catch it. The question is, Be'ir Shekula Ovid Kachavim Nami, even in a city that is all goyim, Va'ikod Roichon Amachzirin Ba'yoris, don't you have Jewish peddlers who go from one city to another? So therefore, they may be passing by in the street sometimes.
One day, it'll be
but not necessarily though. They can be coming any time on the face of it. And again, given Rashi's explanation in our mission over here that the goy is afraid to touch it because he's afraid even if there's no machter chachosim because he's afraid that a yid is going to see and then he's going to lose his business, so he should be concerned about these roichlin. Now, this is one of the questions that Tosfos points out on Rashi. If you're talking about over here that there's no machteach v'choisam, it's just a question of that the people know that this wine was made on behalf of the goy by the Jew, then why would the goy be afraid of Roichlin? Roichlin don't know whether this is the goy's own wine or whether it was made on behalf of Jews or whatever. They don't live in the city, exactly. So why would he be afraid of the Roichlin? That's one of the reasons why Tosfos prefers the explanation from before that we're talking about when there's machteach v'choisam, a lock and a seal, where then the goy is going to be afraid of the Roichlin because if they see him fiddling with that, they're still going to know something fishy. The Binyan Shloima answers that maybe Rashi would answer. Rashi could answer that when that it's not that usual to have such an arrangement that a goy is gonna that a goy is gonna contract with a Jew to make a run of kosher wine for him. Therefore, there's a coil. People hear about it, and therefore, maybe nowadays it's more usual. Okay, I don't know. Maybe in those days. All right, maybe in those days it was less usual. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway. Okay, I don't know. Okay, I don't know, maybe. Anyway, the point is the Binyan Shlomo says maybe there's a coil about such a thing. Maybe people hear about it and therefore even the Roichlin would hear. So maybe that's how we could plan for that.
In the South, in South France, what they do is they have wine, a lot of wine. So they have a dedicated cellar only for kosher wine.
Okay.
A house where nobody else is allowed to go except the rabbi.
Okay.
That's what they do.
And such a thing has a coil, right? You hear about it. You know about it.
Everybody knows.
Okay, so that's the Binyan Shlomo is arguing by the same by the same logic over here, therefore, the Binyan Shlomo argues, even if there's no Machiach Lechosim, Rashi might argue that when you have it. No, there is, right, because the halacha is that you need one in a city that's all goyim, whatever. But
it's a separate building altogether.
Yeah, yeah, but the point is, over here, Rashi could answer, says the Binyan Shlomo, that it, even if there's no Machiach Lechosim, given that it's open to Rishos Rabbim and Roichlin might pass by, and they know that, they hear there's a coil that a Jew is making a run of kosher wine for the guy, therefore they would notice, and if he does, and if he walks in there, then they would know to comment on it. Okay, anyway, let's go on. So anyway, so the question is, you have these Roichlim, where, again, once there are Roichlim around, the guy is going to be afraid to do anything fishy. So Shmuel says yes, but the case we're talking about over here in the Mishnah is where the city has gates and has gates and bars. So therefore, Rashi learns that what that means is therefore not anybody can just go into the city. You need permission to go in. It's a walled city with gates and bars, and therefore you need permission to come into the city. Therefore, when Reuchlin come into the city, people know about it. So therefore, the Goy will know. So therefore, the Goy will know, like you were saying, sort of, that the Goy will know that this is the, now there's a Jewish peddler around, I better be careful, but now other times there's not. Some of the other Rishonim learn, the Ravid learns that what it is a city that has L'chaim of Riach, the vote is, that it has, it's obviously a very big, important city. So it has its own local traders and things. No Reuchlin, no peddlers from outside the city are going to bother coming in there because they're not going to find any business to do. It's already monopolized by all the people in the city. Therefore, Jews are not going to come there, and therefore Jewish peddlers are not going to come there in the first place because all the buying and selling in that city is already being done by the local Goyish population. Therefore, he's free to do whatever he wants, right? Amr Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef said, so that's the answer, therefore. So we don't do, when would the Goy not be concerned about Reuchlin, is if it's a city that has L'chaim of Riach, where Reuchlin aren't, then it would be a thing. Amr Rav Yosef, for Chaloyim Kirshah for Rabin Zami, so Rav Yosef says, if there's a window that looks into the house, then it's also like Rishon Sarabim, because the same thing, they can see inside. Well, now, obviously we're talking, okay, so we're showing him talk about the question. Okay, so first of all, Rashi gives two explanations. One is that the house is not open to Rishon Sarabim, but it's open to another house in that same chaser where a Jew lives. Then, so Rashi's first explanation is that Rashi's first explanation rather is that you have a window open to that you have the house is open to a chaser, but then you have in the chaser there's a window opposite the door of the house, so in other words, it's possible to see through the window, through the chaser, into the house, then that would be enough to be master it also.
If there's Jews in town,
and then there's Rishon Sarabim. Okay, so you have, there's a Rishon Sarabim, then there's a chaser, then there's the house. The house does not open directly into Rishon Sarabim, but you have the door of it opens to the chaser. In the chaser, in the wall of the chaser, there's a window. So it's possible to see from Rishon Sarabim through that window to the door. That's Rashi's first explanation.
Depends how far the house.
Yeah, right. Rashi's second explanation is that we're talking about if you have a Jew's window faces the Goy's door. So again, we're talking within the same culture. Yeah, so that's Rashi's second explanation, and he prefers that. Rishonim also talk about the question. Rishonim also talk about the question, are we talking about that it has to be that from the window you should be able to see the actual barrel of wine, or is it enough that you can see that you just see the door because it's a guy going into the door there, he has no business going there.
The wine is in the cellar.
No, but if the door, again, like you were giving me as an example from the south of France, if the building is reserved only for the Jew and then the rabbi and whatever, then the guy has no business going in there, so therefore people see him going into that door already, then he'll... Exactly. So therefore, even if they can just see the door through that window, then that's enough. Yeah. Okay. The Ashpa Kirshah Sarabim Dami, also another din, a garbage heap is also the equivalent of a Kirshah Sarabim, because a garbage heap, people go to the bathroom there, so again, you have people coming there, again, as long as there are Jews in the city who might use it.
Right.
The Dikla Kirshah Sarabim Dami, and also, if there's a palm tree that belongs to a Jew, then opposite the door. Then the same thing. The Goy may figure that the Goy may be worried that the Jew will climb up his palm tree to collect the fruit, and he'll see it. And he'll see me, yeah. So the question is, Pasik Reishe, what about if the top of the palm tree is chopped off, so now there's no more fruit on it? Is the Goy still going to be concerned? Pligibot of Acha and Ravina. So Acha and Ravina argue on that scenario. Chad also chad shori. One says it's also, one says it's mutter. The Gemara establishes a rule. We're talking about the tree is still tall enough that if a Jew climbed it, he would still be able to see in. The question is, would he bother climbing it? So we have a machloikas. One says in that case, also the other says it's mutter. The Gemara establishes a general rule, we mentioned it before, that machloikas, Rav Acha and Ravina, when it doesn't say which one says which, Rav Acha is the one usually who's machmir, and Ravina is the one who's makel. And halacha usually is like Ravina, and so it is over here. Manda also, the one who says it's also named Rav Acha, he says because the Goy will figure, my Loma Loy the Solid Kossum. Why is the Jew going to bother climbing up a tree where the top is at the top? Look, there's no more food over there. Therefore, he's not going to be worried. Umanda Shori, whereas Ravina, who says it's mutter, because the Goy may figure, fine, he has no reason to climb the tree for it itself. But Zimna the Avdalei Behema, it can happen, for example, that the Jew has lost an animal and he needs a high vantage point, historically, Yonibatsu. It's unusual, but it's usual enough that the Goy may have reason to be concerned. He's not going to go start fiddling around with the wine because he's concerned, what if right now the Jew punk has a reason to climb up the tree to look for something, so he needs a height to look from. So therefore he'll be afraid enough to not clutch at Nisa. That's what Ravina says, yeah. And the halacha is like him. Again, subject to the conditions we said before. It has to be visible from Rishus Adabim, or there has to be a Shomer, or there has to be a Mashiach HaKosem, whatever, yeah. Turn it up on him. We learn in a Braisa. Echad alakeach, the echad asecha bayis v'chaseir shal oivri chavim, whether a person buys a property from a goy, or whether he rents the house from a goy in the chaser of a goy, umil o yayin, and he fills it up with wine, the Yisrael Dor Ba'oitza Chaser, and you have a Jew living as another tenant in that same Chaser, Mutter, then the wine is Mutter, even if there's no key and no lock in the Jew's hand, because the very fact that he's there is going to prevent the Goy from doing anything to the wine, because he's afraid that Jews are going to catch on and he's going to... Yeah, for as long as there's a Jew there. But Chaser Acheres Mutter, what about if the Jew doesn't live in that Chaser, he lives in another Chaser, then it's also Mutter only Vahush Makeach Vachosim B'yadeh. However, there you need him to have the key in his hand. So it has to be locked, and the key is in the Jew's hand.
If he lives in the same Chaser,
then he doesn't even need it, but if he lives in a different Chaser, then he does, yeah. Another case, Hamatahu Yenish Al Oz Gechavim B'Yashusai, what about a case, that first case we were talking about where the wine belongs to a Jew. But the first case that we just talked about, that we just said, that the Echad Alakeach, the Echad Asir Chabayit, the Chaser Shal Oz Gechavim, the Lor Yain, he's talking about that one Jew rented this place from a Goy, or bought it from a Goy, but the Goy owns other properties in the same chaser. So we have two cases. One is where a Jew, the same Jew or a different Jew, doesn't matter, lives in that chaser, then it's allowed. If the Jew lives in a different chaser, then you need Makeach Lachoyt and B'yad. How about another case? What about where the wine belongs to the Goy, and the Jew is preparing it, is preparing a run of kosher wine for him, and it's kept in the Goy's Rishulis, which is similar to the case of our Mishnah, the Yisrael Dova is a Chotzer, and a Jew is living in that Chotzer, again it's Mutter, but there you need the Makeach V'choytam to be in the hands of the Jew. In other words, here you need both. Here you need both things, because if you only have a Jew living there, nevertheless, the Goy is still going to feel free to handle the wine, because it's his wine, after all. It's in the Rishulis of the Goy. It belongs to him, it's just that a Jew prepared it for him. So therefore, we're saying that just a Jew living in that chaser is not enough. You need also that Jew or another Jew has the makeach v'chosim b'yadei. Because the previous case, the wine belonged to a Jew, and just there's another goyish tenant living in that chaser. Here we're talking about the wine actually belongs to a goy. Or not even a Jew or goyish tenant living in that chaser. The house itself belongs to the goy. But there's a difference between a house belonging to the goy versus the wine belonging to the goy. Where the house belongs to him, you don't need Makeach V'choytam B'yadeh, as long as there's a Jew there, then the Goy realizes he has no business going into that house, because he rented it out to the Yid for his wine. On the other hand, where the wine belongs to him himself, then you need both. You need a Jew there, and you need Makeach V'choytam B'yadeh. Okay. However, Rav Yechanan tells the Tana, Tony, no, you should teach differently in this Braita. No. Even in this last case, even if there's no key and seal in his hand, since a Jew is living in that chaser, it's the equivalent of a shomer who goes in and out regularly, and we said in the Mishnah that kind of thing is mutter. So even if he doesn't have the Maseach Bechoyzim. So not like the Braita had said that you need both, you only need one of them. You only need, it's enough that you have a Jew living in that chaser. Okay, then the Braisa continues. Now, what about if this wine belongs to the Goy and a Jew is living in another chaser, not in that same chaser? Then Reb Meir says it's also even if the Jew has the key and the lock in his hand, because even if the wine belongs to the Goy and there's no Jew living in the chaser, then even Makeach V'choytam B'yadeh is not good enough, according to Reb Meir. Because still, the wine belongs to the Goy, there's no Jew living in the chaser. So the Goy is still going to feel free to go and fiddle with a lock or whatever in order to touch the wine, in order to do nisuch with it. And therefore it'll be also. Give it a mayor. The Chachamim Oisrin. Now the Chachamim say it's Osir, and we have to figure out what they're referring to. Ad Sheyehe Shomer Yoshev Mashamer, unless you have a Shomer sitting there and watching. Or unless you have somebody in charge of things who comes regularly. Now we're going to see, the Gemara is going to ask soon, if he comes regularly, meaning on the face of it, he comes like every half hour, that's no good. So we're going to deal with that point soon, but first we have to figure out what the Chachamim are referring to. If a mayor just said it's author, and the Chachamim say it's author, what are they arguing with him? So the question is, Chachamim Aheya, which part of the Braita are the Chachamim referring to? Elaim Asefa, are you going to say that they're referring to this last part? The Tanakama already, namely the mayor, already said that it's also. The Chacham don't have to add anything by saying that, that they asked it also.
Yeah.
So they can't be referring to that. The Ela, now remember, we have three cases in the Braisa. We had the case where the wine belongs to four cases in the Braisa, really. We had the case where the wine belongs to the Jew, and we said that a Yid lives in that chaser. Then we said it's mutter. We said if he lives in another chaser, he needs the makeach chosam. He needs to have the key in his hand. Then we said if the wine belongs to the goy, and it's in his reshus also. So we said if a Yid lives in that chaser, then the Braisa itself had said you need makeach chosam. He needs to be living there and have makeach chosam beyonder. And Rav Yechanan changed that and said that he only needs to be living there. And in the last case, where the Jew doesn't live in that chaser, then we said that your mayor said even if makeach chosam beyonder, it's no good. Because there's no Jew living over there. So now, again, what are the Chachamim referring to when they say it's also? They can't be referring to the fourth case, because your mayor already is saying it's also. The Ela Aresha de Sefer, so are they referring to the first clause of the last part, where the Tanakhama had said that Mutter, if the Jew is living in that chaser and he has Makeach Pachos and Biyadai, and the Chachamim would still be saying that's also. Can't be. We said that Rabbi Yochanan said to the Tana, Tony Alpha Bishay Maseach Bechoy Tamiyode. That Adarab, Rabbi Yochanan says to the Tana Kama, there's more reason to be Maple there. So why would the Chachamim think that there's more reason to be Maseach there?
The second case?
The third case, where the wine belongs to the Goy, but there's a Jew living in that chaser.
Yeah.
So we said that the original wording, the Braisa said, as long as that Jew has the Maseach Bechoy Tam, then it's good. And Rabbi Yochanan changed that to say he doesn't even need the Maseach Bechoy Tam, just the fact that he's living there is enough for us. So the question is, if you're going to tell me that the Chachamim, when they're saying it's Osir, unless you have a Shomer over there, they can't be referring to that third case. If the original wording of the Braisa was saying that it's good enough as long as a Jew is living there and he has Maseach Bechosa, and Rabbi Yochanan is saying you don't even need to be that Machmer, you can be more Makel than that, all you need is a Jew living there. Would the Chachamim then, on the other hand, be going and being more Machmer in that case and saying that you need a Shomer? What's the law? Yeah. The Ela Asefa Duresha. No, so we have to say that the Chachamim of this Braisa are talking about the second case, the second clause of the first part of the Braisa. Namely the case where the wine belongs to a Jew, but the property belongs to the Goy. The Jew bought it or rented it from a Goy, but and you have a Goy living over there. In the chaser. So we said over there, if the Jew is living in a different chaser, then he needs makeach b'chos and b'yada. He needs to have the key in his possession. That's the case. So the Tanakama of the Braisa is saying it's mutter even if the Jew lives in another chaser, as long as he has the key in his possession. Chachamim are saying that no, it's always oser. Ad shi heishemer yoshev u'mashamer. Unless you have an actual shomer sitting there and watching, or actually you have a mamuna abo the kitchen, or unless you have a mamuna, somebody in charge of the whole thing, who comes at regular intervals.
So that's
when the Jew lives in another chassid. The Chachamim would say, so the Tanakama of the Braisa would say that's mutter, as long as makeach b'chos in the yode, and the Chachamim at the end of the Braisa would say that no, you need an actual shomer over there.
Why would they say that?
Because they would say that the fact is you don't have a Jew living over there, and it's in a chaser that belongs to a guy. A Jew bought or rented a property over there, fine, but the chaser still belongs to a guy, so nobody knows what's going on. So even a chaser chosen is not enough, right? So actually in Shulchan Aruch it says that in the cases where it's osur, for example, in the cases where the house is not open to Rosh Hashanah Abim, or if the city is all goyim, then even chosim b'sei chosim is not enough. Even a double seal, even whatever, however many seals, is not enough. You need a shomer. So it has to be again. So the criteria are either you have a Jew lives in that chaser, then you don't need a seal. If the Jew is not living in that chaser, this is how it's brought in Jonah. If the Jew is not living in that chaser, if there are Jews living in that city and the house is open to Rosh Hashanah Abim, then you need makeach b'chosim. And the Ramah adds, b'di'evet, even it would be enough even with one chosam. You know, b'di'evet, you should have two seals, b'di'evet, it's enough with one.
Right.
If the place is not open to Rosh Hashanah Abim, Or if it's open to Rosh Hashanah, but the city is entirely goyim, then even if you have chosim, even if you have a double seal, it's not enough. You need a shomer. You need a shomer.
That's the halacha.
Yeah, this is the halacha as brought in Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. Now, it goes on in Shulchan Aruch, let's say.
You need a shomer
when you don't have any of the other, when you don't have any of the other things, we master it. You don't have, it's not open to Rosh Hashanah. And there are no Jews in the city. Either way, the point is no Jews passing by can see what's going on over there. And you don't have a Jew living in that chatzis. Yeah. So those are the cases you would need a shomer. Okay. Fine. So the question is, what we said, Mamuna Bolakistin. We said if you have a person in charge who comes at regular intervals. Well, what do you mean? Lakistin Griosa, who if he comes at regular intervals, that's a bad thing. Then it means the goy knows he's going to come every half hour and therefore and in between. Let's say he knows he has time to do whatever he wants. Now, Ella Ashiyovim Munah She'enid Balakitin. No, what the Braitha means is, by the word, it means a Mamunah who does not come at particularly regular intervals. He comes at irregular intervals. So one time it can be after a couple of minutes, one time it can be after a half hour or whatever. So therefore the goy never knows when the guy is next going to be there, and therefore it's allowed. Similar to, like I said, to Mashgichim in restaurants or whatever. To say it's a similar concept. Then we said in the Mishnah, Rav Shimon Elazar, Amir Shulf Oyv Gachavim Acha. So the bottom line as far as that again is those are the various criteria. Again, you have Rashi and Tosfos have different opinions about it. But as far as it, most of the Rishonim learn the way I was saying, and that's how it's brought la halacha. Okay. So we said in the Mishnah, Rav Shimon Elazar, Amir Shulf Oyv Gachavim Acha. See that the Rishus of Goyim is all one. So what does that mean? Rav Shimon Elazar lahokol or lahachmir? What is Rav Shimon Elazar coming to do with that statement? Is he trying to be machmir? So you have, for example, the Tanakhama is saying that if it's sitting out. So what is it, for example?
Only for the purpose of wine.
Hold on, well, obviously, but we have to figure out what does he mean by that. So let's say, for example, so the Mishnah had said that if the wine belongs to a goy and it's in the goy's property, so we said no good. You need we said it's no good unless you have a Jew living in the city. And if it's a city of all goyim or it's not open to Rosh Hashanah, then the Mishnah was saying it's no good. So now the implication though is that what about, for example, if it was placed in another goy's rishus? On the face of it, the Tanakhama is maybe saying the same thing. The second goy is also going to feel free to touch it because there's no Jews around that might see it and might call it right. So therefore, so in that case, Rav Shimon Elazar might be coming to me makel. He might be coming to me makel.
It's
in the rishus of another goy. Namely, he might be arguing like this. You're saying, do you think the Rishus of all Goyim is one place? Given that it's not in the house of the actual owner of the wine, the second Goy is going to be afraid to touch it because it's not his wine. Whereas the Tanakhama would be implying that it's all the same. Or it could be the other way around. It could be, in which case, by the way, when Rav Shimon Elazar says, Rishus Oiv Kachavim Achati, it's not a statement, it's actually a rhetorical question. Rishus Oiv Kachavim Achati? Do you think that Rishus of all Goyim is one place? That, because it belonged to Goy A, therefore Goy B, if it's in his Rishus, is going to feel free to touch it? No. So therefore it'd be Mekel. Or you could say Zin Machmer. The Tanakhama is saying that only if it's in the house of the only in the property of the actual goy the particular goy who owns it. If it's in a different goy's house, the Tanakhama might be implying that it's okay. And Rav Shimon Elazar would argue, no, Rishus Oiv Gachavim Achati, the Rishus of all goyim is one in the sense that, as the Gemara is going to say, there might be a problem of goyimlin. They might be willing to, like, they'll do favors for each other. I'll let you touch this wine, even though it doesn't belong to you, and later on you'll let me touch and then do nitzuch with some wine of yours when a Jew keeps it by you, whatever.
This wine is owned by a goy.
This is, we're talking about wine that's owned by a goy, exactly.
So how are you going to get any benefits from that wine?
The goy had a Jew make a run of kosher wine for him. That's a matariya initial of the Chabad we talk about in the Mishnah. So the wine itself is kosher to wine, but now we have the problem where it's being stored. It's stored in the rishus of the goy. So unless you either have a Jew living in that chaser, or you have Jews who pass by in the street where the goy would be afraid of touching it because a Jew might catch him and he'll lose his whole business. Yeah, but that's what it means.
That's the point. The goy is afraid of that. Therefore, if he figures that a Jew is going to catch him in the act, then he won't do it. But if they go to the corner, if there's no Jews around, right?
Right. Well, it's one or the other. Either it's open to Rosh Hashanah where there are Jews passing by. Right. In other words, it has to be open to Rosh Hashanah where there are Jews passing by in order for it to be mutter. Right. Or you have to have a Jew living in that cluster. Right. again, according to Rashi on our Mishnah, even without all of that, it might be mutter as long as the goy doesn't actually have a financial stake in it, like we said in the Mishnah about that he writes out a document or whatever. Most of the other Rishonim learn that those are separate cases.
Alright,
anyway. It could be lahachis. It could be because he figures he can get away with it. It could be because he really believes in his avodah zarah and wants to do nisul for it. Whatever. Okay. So that's the question. What is it Shimon Elazar makes saying with a statement? Is he saying it rhetorically and then he's coming to be makel on the Tanakama? Or is he saying it as a statement of fact and then he's coming to be machmel? Rav Yehuda omers the iri lahachol. So Rav Yehuda says in the name of the iri that Rav Shimon Elazar is coming to be makel. Rav Nachman omers the iri lahachmel. Rav Nachman says in the name of the same iri that he comes to be machmel.
So
makel would mean that
how
he's
would, how would it work?
Again, makel would be the Tanakama is implying that the wine originally belonged to the guy Joe.
Yeah.
Joe, in turn, took the wine and placed it in Tony's property. Okay. And the argument is the Tanakama would be saying we still have to be concerned that Tony may come and touch it because it's all one rishus. And Rav Shimon Elazar says rishus over because of achasi. Joe and Tony are two different rishus. Joe may touch it because it's in his rishus and belongs to him. Tony will not. Whereas that's Lahakil. Lahakmi would be the other way around. The Tanakama would say that Tony is going to be afraid to touch it because not his. And Rav Shimon Elazar would be saying, Rav Shimon Elazar would be saying, Joe may tell Tony, I don't mind if you touch it now, and then another time when you're doing a run of kosher wine and you store it by me, then I'll let you do the same thing. So we have two different opinions of what Ze'iri said. Was it Lahakil or Lahakmi? Rabbi Huda, Amma Ze'iri Lahakol, Rabbi Huda says in the name of Ze'iri that Rav Shimon Elazar wants to be Mekol, Lahakakama. So it means like this. The Tanakama is saying, Lahakakama Tanakama. Kishem Shabir Shusay Osir, just as it's Osir if it's in the Rishus of the first Go, of the first Goy, Joe, Kach the Rishus of Kachav Na'ach Nami Osir, so it's also Osir if it's in the property of another Goy, Tony. Namely, the Tanakama holds, it effectively we consider it one Rishus, because we're concerned they may be in Kahoot. That you'll means Kahoot. That you'll do me a favor this time, and I'll do the favor, and I'll do you the favor another time. Both of them are within, are among our Ziri's opinion. Both apparently either Ziri changed his mind, or Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Nachman both understood what he said differently. Whatever, we have such things in the Gemara occasionally. Anyway. So, then comes Rav Shimon Elazar. Rav Shimon Elazar comes along and says, no, this din, that's also if there's no Jew living in that chotzer or walking by in the street or whatever, is only when it's in the original goy's rishus. But if it's in the rishus of another goy, then it would be mutter. Because Rav Shimon Elazar says, we're not concerned about goyman. Because he would hold we're not concerned about that. We're not concerned that they're going to make a deal like that. Therefore, so he would be coming to be Mekel. Therefore, Rishus Oiv Kacham Machasi. Yes, the first guy will.
It's illogical if the first one, you're Hashinan, you have to be Hashinan.
Not Rav Shimon Elazar will hold that. Not. We're not Hashish on that. No, it's not, because the first one is not Goimlin. The first one, the wine belongs to him.
Yeah.
Therefore, he'll feel free to touch it. Yeah. The other one, the wine doesn't belong to him. Why would he feel free to touch it? Goimlin? Okay, maybe they made a Goimlin, but not necessarily. We don't have to be considered, says Rav Shimon Elazar. According to that way of looking. Rav Nachman omer Ze'iri lahachmer. Rav Nachman says in the name of Ze'iri that it means that Rav Shimon Elazar wants to be machmer. V'ha'chakam, v'tanakam. And then Tanakam is saying as follows. V'med v'ram amurim v'rishus. When does this apply that it's osir, if there's no Jews around? When it's in the original goy's rishus. Ava v'rishus o'v'kacham achem mutter. But if it's in the rishus of another goy, it is mutter. V'loi chayshin l'goymlin. And we are not concerned about goymlin. We're not concerned that they're going to make side deals like that with each other. And Rav Shimon Elazar, I'm a kol rishus oiv kacham achati. Whereas Rav Shimon Elazar says, for this purpose, all the rishus of goyim is considered one rishus. There is a problem of goyimlin, and therefore it'll be osir. Right. So what is it as a matter of halacha? Tanya kavaseder of Nachman almost iri lahachmer. We learn in a brisa that agrees with Rav Shimon Elazar's understand with Rav Nachman's version of what the iri said that Rav Shimon Elazar comes to be machmer, namely that the brisa says Amr Rav Shimon Elazar. The rishus of all goyim is considered one because of ramoyim, because of cheaters. Therefore, that clearly shows he's coming to be machmer, meaning that the Tanakama is coming to be mekel. Since, as usual, the halacha is like the Tanakama against Rav Shimon Elazar, it means we're not concerned about ramoyim. We're not in general when we have it. In general, when we have a chamim against an individual tana, then it means that the halacha is like the stam mishnah, like a chamim. So therefore, that's it. The halacha is like the chacham over here, and therefore, if it's another guy, then we're not chashina. However, wait, We have we're not Chashinin with the caveat that we're going to see now in the Gemara. Devet Pauzik Rufila, the household of Pauzik, that was his name. Rufila was the viceroy to the king. Oisivu Chamra Gabri Arisaihu. They put wine for safekeeping by their orins, by their sharecroppers. Now again, this wine was a run of kosher wine that had been made by Jews. For that, Pauzik Rufila wanted to sell it under his own name, but it was made by Jews.
He was what?
He was the viceroy of the king, so he's a guy. He's a guy. He contracted with some Jews to prepare a run of kosher wine for him. He took those barrels and deposited them for safekeeping by his arisim, by his sharecroppers, who are also goyim.
Right.
So the question is, do we have to be consistent? So here we're talking about a case of two different sets of goyim. We have Pauzik and we have his sharecroppers. So that's the question. So the Rabbanon thought, the Rabbanon who were learning as Talmidim by Rava, thought to say that in this case, where would there be a concern of Goimlin, even according to Rav Shimon Elazar, as he said that Rav Shimon Elazar is machmer because he's concerned about Goimlin, hanimili heichad kamosim hai gabi hai, where each one of them could interchangeably keep wine by the other. Sometimes Joe will deposit it by Tony, sometimes Tony will deposit it by Joe, therefore there could be Goimlin. Aval, hocha, but over here, kivin da'adrisei lav daukila is still written in Pauzik Rufila. But here, you're not going to have the audience as one going to go to Pauzik and say, can I take some wine and store it by you? It's afraid of his boss. So the Chachamim thought to say, therefore, for sure there should not be a problem of Goimlin, and even if Shimon Elazar shouldn't have a problem with it. Amal, who Rava says to them, no, you got it backwards. Even according to the Chachamim of our Mishnah, that in an ordinary case with two goyim on the same level, we're not concerned about goyimlin. That is only where one goy has no particular reason to be afraid of the other one. Aval over here, Pauzik's arisim, his sharecroppers, given the mirsis minei, they're afraid of him. So therefore, if Pauzik one day were to come along and say, I want to be menachtik this wine, not only they'll accept, but they're afraid of him, not only they're not going to prevent him, mechafi alei schusa. They'll try to cover up for him. They'll try to cover up for him. If the Jew comes and asks later, was Pauzik around to touch it, they'll pretend that he wasn't. So therefore, in that case, it is definitely also even a coin of Chacham. And that is
in this special case
like this, where one guy is subject to another one. And that, in fact, is brought in Shulchan Aruch. That is the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. If the second guy is in a position where he would not be able to he's not in a position where he could not prevent or tell the first guy, don't do this, then we say that it's also. Because then, if they're both even, then yes. Right. Okay.
Would you say that if the two goyim one is not so wealthy and the other one is very, very wealthy?
No, it really depends. Well, no, it doesn't necessarily depend on wealth. It depends on their respective status to each other. If the poorer guy would feel free to stand up to the richer guy and tell him it's off limits, then fine. If not, then nothing. Okay. Another case. Hahu kraka to have a yosef bechamra d'Israel. There was a certain city where there was wine of a Jew sitting out in barrels in the street. Tosfos explains. And Tosfos adds the detail, there were barrels there belonging to Jews, there were also barrels there belonging to the goyim. So, Ishtakach, over to Chavim, they have a koi bene gadi. Then they found a goy standing among the barrels that belonged to the Jews. So the question is there a problem with Nisr? Omar Rava, im Nisqas Olaf Ganav, it depends. If the situation is that the goy would be caught as a thief, then Chamra Shori, then the wine is mutter. The Eloi also, and if not, then it's also, what does it now? What does it mean, Nisbat al-Siganav? Rashi learns that it means that if this is a weak guy, like a low-level guy, where therefore he's afraid of the law, he's afraid that if they find him touching, then they'll take him to court and he'll be in trouble with the law, then it's mutter, because then he'll have been afraid to do it. And if not, that would be...
So
it's a similar thing. So a number of other Rishonim explain that it doesn't even have to be that. It doesn't even have to be that he's particularly afraid of the law. Just that he'd be uncomfortable, like if you walked over and caught him in the act, caught him red-handed, he'd be embarrassed.
No.
That would be enough to consider that we consider therefore that he didn't touch. Otherwise, not. Tosfos makes a distinction over here that here the barrels are sitting out in the street. Therefore, it's like there's no partition around them. There's no like defined area that the goy is supposed to stay out of. If there was a defined area, and the Noisa Kalim on Shulchan Aruch talk about it also, if there was a defined area, like a house, or even if there were low walls around, let's say between the Jews, where he has no business being in the area where the Jews' barrels are, then you don't even need to be that he's nitpas olav kaganav about touching, then just the fact that he's nitpas kaganav just for the going in, because he has no business being in that area, then that would be enough to make it mutter. Otherwise not. Hadron alacha Rabbi Shmuel. So now this last perek is continuing because it started Rabbi Shmuel. It started with Rabbi Shmuel's dinner. That usually Chacham are named after their first words. Yeah. Okay. I, before we go to the next perek, actually, I forgot to mention Rashi a little bit uncharacteristically over here summarizes. You can see over here after the Hadron Alach Rabbi Shmuel and Rashi, he has a number of lines over here summarizing a number of the dinim that we learned in our perek because it's complicated stuff to try to figure out when it's author, when it's mutter. Hello. So Rashi summarizes them as follows. And again, this is following Rashi's opinion. You have many other opinions among the Rishonim. Not everything that Rashi says over here is a liberty to do, but let's go through it anyway. If a guy meant to touch wine, and he did shichshich, he screwed it around with his hand or whatever, then it's also bahana. We know that from the case Rashi says, we know that from the case of the Agaujimim. We have that from the case of the Agaujimim that we had a few days ago. He does Shichruch, actually. So then we said, we have the case of the Agaujimim, we have the case over there of the Goyish market police, or the market inspectors or whatever, who comes and tastes from the wine and moves it. And then, of course, so therefore it becomes Osabana. Right. Osabana automatically includes also the Shira. If the guy touched it without kavana, for example, he didn't know it's wine, then it's muter b'hanah. We know that from the case of the insane guy that we had the other day who touched it, and we said that you're allowed to sell it to guy. Another case Rashi says is, for example, we had in the Mishnah before, we had a guy falls into a pit full of wine, then it's also muter b'hanah. Another example.
No,
he said because if he comes out alive, then I'll be manasseh because he comes back up. Right. Okay. Another example would be, what if the goy is touching the wine for something else? For example, the case where the esrog fell into wine, that's also considered a kavana, Rashi says. That's also a shaloi kavana, to pick up the esrog, but therefore that's also considered shaloi kavana. Therefore, we said the wine is musabana. What we do have to do there, we said over there, we have to drain out the barrel. We have to hold his hand so he doesn't do shichshuch, and drain out the barrel so that he can't do shichshuch from then on.
And if he doesn't do shichshuch, but he's searching for the esrog.
That's as long as he's searching for the esrog, that's different. That's still, he's tortured. He's still doing it for the sake.
It looks like shichshuch.
No, but it's still, he's doing it for the sake of finding the esrog, therefore that's it. Okay, what about, that's all if he's touching the wine directly. So again, you have he knew that it was wine and meant to touch it, he didn't realize that it was wine, or he knew it was wine, but he's touching it for some other purpose.
Okay.
Then you have the cases where he touches it using something else, for example, the stick. So then we said if he's, for example, he's measuring it with a stick or chasing away a fly or whatever, so then we said again, it's mutabahana. That's where we know he had kavana for something else. He didn't have kavana for nisuch. He had kavana just to get the fly out of the wine or whatever. If he had kavana, but we're not sure what the kavana was, for example, the case where he touched it with the lulav, then we said it's also b'hanah. And again, here we have Tosfos and most of the other Rishonim disagree with Rashi on that and say that if he touches it shaloi kavana using something else, it will not be also b'hanah. And then you have the third possibility is the case that we talk about koichoi, where he's not touching the wine, but he's pouring it with his koyach. For example, he's emptying out a barrel. So then it depends whether he knows, then Rashi says it depends. If he knew that it was wine, also b'hanah. We have the case where the goyim are pouring water into wine, for example, and Rabbi Yechanan said, go announce that it's yayin nesach. If he didn't know that it was wine, then it's mutter even to drink, because we have the example over there of the two Amoroyim who was sitting there and asked the guy to pour them wine, and then they found that afterwards he was a goy, and he said it's mutter b'shtiyah, because the goy himself didn't know that it was wine, because he said it was a night and it was new wine, and he couldn't tell. And the last case is, if he throws something in, then even niskavin, then we have Rav Ashi's rule over there, that as long as it would be tohar by his zav, and it's not yayin nesach by the goy, so therefore it would be mutter even to drink.
Even if it was what tar?
So even, no, the same way as if a dog throws something into something else, the something else remains tar, the same way if a goy throws something into wine,
right,
and there's no direct contact, then it remains mutter to drink. That's how Rashi learns. Again, many of these details, a lot of the other Rishonim disagree on, and say the halacha is different.
But that question is not really connected to wine, but a little more to say about, if a goy touches the matzah before the seder, can you eat it?
Why not?
I don't know.
I mean, back when people were careful to eat food that was tahor, then you'd have a problem because it's all the tummy, it's tummy d'rabbanan. But nowadays, we're all tummy anyway. We don't eat food with tahor. So, yeah.
No problem.
There is, by the way, now that you mentioned it, there is an idea in how that this brought in halacha that matzah that was meant for the mitzvah should not be given to a goy or to an animal.
That's a different thing.
The seder. Now, in other words, if you have matzah, for example, that was put on the seder plate, you shouldn't be giving any of it to goy. But no, if a goy touched it beforehand, doesn't make it also to use. But if you have, for example, so it could happen, for one reason or another, that you have a goy in your household, it could happen you have a goy shemaid, for example. Why would that be a problem? No, what we're saying is you're not supposed to take matzah that was on the seder plate, for example, that was meant to be used for the mitzvah, and give a piece of it to a goy to eat. That you're not supposed to do. So, for example, it can happen that you have a goy at your seder, it can happen that you have a goy in your house as an attendant or what have you. If you're going to give them matzah from the box, not from the seder plate, basically. All right. Yom Tov, that's true. You can't invite a goy to a meal on Yom Tov anyway, because Shema Yabba Bishvila. But tonight, supposed to say there, it's Friday night. In principle, you couldn't invite a goy, yeah.
Why? Shabbos, you said.
Because when it's Shabbos, there's no concern that you're going to cook extra for him, because he can't cook on Shabbos anyway. Yom Tov, you're allowed to cook. There's a concern that you may cook extra. That's why you're not supposed to have a goy.
Because
you may cook extra for him, yeah. Yeah. So on Shabbos, it's not an issue. Yeah, it's this year. The first day is Friday night. It's less of an issue, right? All right. So let's begin on this last paragraph. Today officially is supposed to be Daf Samach Beis, so we're finally getting to a block that we're supposed to be on. So Yeah. So we caught up. Good. We have shorter than usual block. All right. So this last paragraph is going to continue. Most of it is going to be on the Dinim of Yain Nesach. Here we're going to be focusing. So in the previous paragraph, we focused on what it takes for wine to become Yain Nesach. Here we're going to be dealing more with, given that something is Yain Nesach, or Stam Yainan, as the case may be, whatever, what are the dinim as far as handling it, as far as having schar from it, as far as what happens if a wine press was used for Yain Nesach, or was touched by a goy or whatever, and now has to be kashered, how do you go about kashering it? So those are the kinds of details that we're going to be dealing with throughout most of this period. So not so much if a goy touched wine, that was dealt with in the previous, and then what kind of touch makes it also. Now we're going to be dealing with, given that it's Yain Nesach, what are the dinim as far as doing business with it, or getting paid for handling it, or things like that. That's what we have to figure out. What kinds of things are allowed and what are not allowed. That's going to be the subject of most of our parents.
When you saw actually the goy, you should...
Let's see. Yeah, we're talking about, yeah. Wait. Okay, so the Mishnah starts off. Hasoicher et ha'poyel last im b'yayin nesach. If a goy hires a Jewish worker to work with him on yayin nesach, so Rashi gives examples. Let's say, for example, he hired the Jew to take this yayin nesach and pour it from one container into another, or to carry barrels of it from one place to another. Rashi explains that we're talking about, the Mishnah is talking about over here where it's actual Yain Nesach. We know 100% for sure that the goy was Menasech or Shichshich or whatever in honor of Avodah Zarah. Whether it also applies to Stam Yainam, where we don't know whether the goy did Nisil, that we're going to deal with in the Gemara. So, but to start with, we're talking about, we know for sure it's Yain Nesach, it's the kind that's also Darai. So that kind, Korai also. So the pay for it is also, because you can't have enough from Yain Nesach. In particular, by the way, a concept that we're going to be coming up repeatedly about in this parak is a concept called roisa b'kiyumai. You're not allowed to drink and have hanah from yayin nesach. That's a given, is daraisa. Whether that also, this that we're saying over here, that you're not allowed to get paid for it, for example, whether that's daraisa or derabana, not as a machloket. That's an indirect hanah. Direct hanah would mean, for example, let's say, being able to pay your goyish workers with it, for example, or giving it to an animal to drink, or using it for laundry or whatever. This is sort of an indirect hanah. So you have a rishonim who learn that's not actually also daraisa, it's only also derabanan, even though we're talking yayin nesach. Yeah. Anyway, the point is the schar is also because, and the idea is this is a concept called roitze b'kiyumen. You, a Jew, want that this yayin nesach should continue to exist. Because you're doing work with it, you're happy for it to be around, and therefore we're saying therefore you're scattered also. The Chachamim are gonna put that off limits to you so that you're not ready to the kiyumah. So you're not in a situation where you want Yain Nesach to exist.
Yeah.
What? Right. Yeah, exactly. In other words, the Jew wants the barrel to stay intact, because if it got broken, for example, he wouldn't get paid. Yeah. So that's called ready to the kiyumah. So therefore, schar also. On the other hand, Sachre Lachas Imen Malach Achar, that's what if the guy hired the Jew to do some other work unrelated to Yain Nesach, and Afafisha, completely unrelated, Afafisha Amaloi, even though, once, because even though in the course of the job, Amaloi, the guy says to him, Havali Chavisho Yain Nesach Amakam Amakam, carry this barrel of Yain Nesach from one place to another, nevertheless, Korin Mutter, nevertheless, his Tchar is Mutter, because he's not getting paid for that work, he's getting paid for some other work, and that's unrelated. This was an incidental thing.
Can he refuse to carry the
Yain? No, he does. So we're going to deal with later on in the Gemara, on Samachay, we're going to deal with the details of this. I won't be here. I'm going to be away for a few days, but it'll be dealt with. Okay. All right. Continues the Mishnah. Socher sachamor lahavi aleh yain nesach. If a person hires a donkey, if a guy hires a donkey to carry yain nesach on it, again, schara also, the Jew is not allowed to be paid for the use of that donkey, or you have to take that money and destroy it or whatever, because, again, that's having hanah from this, having, it's right to the kiyum, he wants the barrel to get to the destination intact. Sachra le shavala. On the other hand, if the guy rented the donkey to sit on it, even though as he's sitting on it, he puts his bottle of yain nesach on it, nevertheless, you're allowed to keep the money that you got for the rental of the donkey, because again, you're not renting it for the purpose of yain nesach. It's a sort of an indirect thing. The Gemara sources. My time as chore officer. Now, why should we say that this schar for carrying, for example, yain nesach, why should it be officer? You're going to say maybe because, okay, like you argued, Yain Nesach is also Banah, therefore any payment for Yain Nesach is also Osir. Can't be. Harek Orla and Kalaya Kerem Dasun Banah. We find that Orla and Kalaya Kerem are also also Banah. Utsnan, and yet we learned this in the previous Perek, Machran, it's true you're not allowed to sell them, but B'di'evet Machran V'kiddush B'dmeihen, if somebody were to take Orlo Kalaya Kerem and B'di'evet go and sell them and use the money for Kiddushin, so then Mekudeshet, the woman is Mekudesh. So we said over there, okay, maybe Drabbanon, maybe it would still be also, but nevertheless, when it comes
still
to period of
everyone.
Yeah, let's say, and then he uses it. Yeah, and then he uses it to get married. So we said, nevertheless, Mekudeshet, because the money is considered his. Fine, maybe Drabbanon it would be also, but nevertheless, the Drabbanon would say it's not. No, but the point is, the toast is said over there, that Drabbanon maybe wouldn't make the Xeder when it comes to period of everyone, because the importance of the mitzvah, whatever. The point is that just because something is also Banna doesn't mean that the money of it remains also as well. That's what we have to figure out. Ela hol over tokus as dom of kavodes kachavim. So you're going to say the reason is because the yain nesach is similar to avodah zarah in the sense that it's tokus as dom of, just like we said before by avodah zarah, that if a person sells avodah zarah and buys something else with it, the money, that second thing is also osur. And we have an opinion that even the third and fourth and so forth things are also osur. And the same thing applies to yain nesach. The question is, that is shvius to tefes as zomer. But what about, we find the same thing as true as far as shmita fruit. It's also tefes as zomer, because he said over there that if you take shmita fruits and sell it and use and buy meat with it, and the meat has kedusha shvius, and then instead of the meat, the fish, and instead of the fish, the whatever, yeah. So it's also tefes as zomer. And yes, utnan, yet we learn in a Mishnah in shvius, ha'omer l'poil helach dinozel, l'koit liboy derech hayoim, if a person says to a worker doing shmita, here's a dinner, use that for that dinner, I want you to pick me some vegetables. Then that amounts to he's using that dinner to buy Schmidt vegetables. Therefore, schare also. Therefore, that schare is also meaning not also completely, but no, not also completely, but meaning it's subject to beer. When those vegetables, when that particular type of vegetable is no longer available in the field, and you have to get rid of those vegetables from your house, you have to declare them hefker. The same thing will be true as far as the money. On the other hand, but if he just says, pick for me vegetables today, without saying, for this, then the schar is mutter, it's not subject to beer, because then it's not, there's no connection to it. He gave him the dinner, and he says, by the way, go pick me some vegetables. So there's no connection between one and the other. The point being, in other words, again, shvius is tofes as dama, but we see an example over here. Yet, we don't say that it's also bahana, we just say you have to do beer to it. So why should it be also bahana over here? Amar Rav Abba, this is a knas that the Chachamim made as far as donkey drivers and as far as Yain Nesach. The donkey drivers we'll deal with in the next piece of Gemara. Yain Nesach, we just saw, here's an example. Technically it should be Mutter, but the Chachamim can't. So we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, with the details about that knas and then more about our mission.